Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. This is Lori Peterson, and today you are in for a treat. I had a chance to sit down and talk with Michael Snyder. He is an ADHD coach out of Austin, Texas. We actually had so much to talk about that we decided to split our discussion into two parts. So sit back, enjoy part one of this conversation that I had with ADHD coach Michael Snyder. Hi, welcome to today's session. This is Lori. I am without Abby today. She is on a ski trip, but I have a great substitute fill-in for her today. Today, I am with Michael Snyder. He is an ADHD coach, and he is out of Austin, Texas, but he is visiting us today and is going to share a little bit about what it means to be an ADHD coach and a little bit about himself. So thank you for being here today. I appreciate it. Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Awesome. Lori, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah.
So where would you like me to start?
Well, just give me a little bit about how you got first. Well, how do you explain to people what you do? Like, and let's just go to the very beginning. Like, when someone says, what is an ADHD coach? What do you tell them?
What is an ADHD coach? You know, I guess one of the questions I get a lot is ADHD coaching versus therapy. And once again, just what is an ADHD coach?
Right.
I guess what I explain to somebody is that an ADHD coach in coaching is very future focused. We're not dealing with past traumas. One of the things that we focus on with ADHD coaching is trying to build a better self-awareness around your ADHD, why you're doing things like, you know, how can you change what you're doing with things?
Like, why do I procrastinate?
Yeah, first, yes, that's okay. A great one, right? Why do you procrastinate? And of course, with ADHD, everyone comes to me like, oh, I procrastinate doing this, I procrastinate doing that, right? So really understanding like why you're doing those things. Is it lack of interest? You know, is it just something that, you know, you just don't really want to do, or maybe you just don't know where to start. Right. So in coaching, you know, we discuss goals, clarify goals. A lot of people come to me and they're like, you know, I know I want to do some of these things, but I don't know how to get there. Or, I'm lacking clarity on what a goal is and what I, you know, should be looking to do.
Yeah. I don't even know what my goals are. Right. Like exactly. I just know I need to improve.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then of course, like there's a time management piece and, you know, organizational piece, which, you know, comes from prioritization and things, you know, like that.
You got to learn what to do first.
Correct.
Right. Like you got to always start somewhere, and it's knowing where to start.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, people come and it's like, all right, well, I want to do this project, or I have this goal in mind. And it's like, well, I don't know where to start. I don't know where it ends. Well, it's like, well, what does this goal actually look like? Right. You know, they'll look at it, it's just overwhelming. And, you know, they just stall. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, break it down into smaller pieces, you know, as small as possible. Right. Day to day, you know, little goals, you know, to do for it to get to that ultimate goal.
The silly analogy someone gave me one time, which is so appropriate, is how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Exactly.
Right? Like, yep. Totally overwhelming. You just take it one bite at a time.
Yeah. It's not even silly. It's the best. It's one of the best analogies.
It just sounds, people, yeah. I say that and people are like, what?
Yeah.
So what made you interested? How did you end up here?
Oh, man. Kind of sort of long story.
That's all right.
Yeah. So I was diagnosed probably when I was 10 years old. Struggled in school, you know, impulsive, you know, got into fights a lot. I was always the one to blame.
Did you struggle academically?
Struggled academically. Okay. Yeah. Academically. And, you know, I guess I don't necessarily, I struggled socially, but I was definitely made fun of a lot. And then impulsively, I would be the one to lash out. And I didn't know at the time that this was, you know, necessarily because of my ADHD. It was because I was a bad kid and, you know, like I wanted to do harm to people. Right. Right. Not the case. So it was on and off medications from probably like 10 to, you know, 16, 17, 18, stopped taking medication, started again when I was probably 19 or 20.
Why did you stop?
You know, wasn't interested in school. No. You know, didn't really, think the medication was helping, didn't like the way the medication was making my body feel. And at that age, from like 10 to 16, like you're going, you know, hormones and puberty.
You're
and
a mess.
Yeah, all these other things. Then to throw in something else, I mean, it's, you know, especially back then, you know, this is the, I'm 39 now. So like, you know, call it like late 80s, like early 90s, like right. there were only a couple medications that they were using.
True.
Right. So like, it's like, okay, was this or nothing? And you know,
you took nothing.
Right. Yeah. Eventually. Yes. I ended up taking nothing. Started taking medication. I was 19 or 20 and just like, it made a world of difference, you know, for me personally at the time, not the case for everybody.
So why do you think it made a difference at 20 and not at 16?
Probably finding the right medication.
Okay.
Yeah. Right medication, right dosage, things like that. Question again. Sorry. See, there's the ADD right there.
You're good. You're good.
Let me do coaching. Started taking medication again. So I've been in school, left school, was there for like a semester, worked at a trucking company for 4.5 years with one of my best friend's fathers. And then I went into real estate for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Became a real estate broker. I'm originally from New York. So I was a real estate broker for 10 years. When I was 32, I decided, you know what? I want to change. I was tired of the cold weather. Picked up my stuff and moved to Austin, Texas.
All right.
So being in Austin, I knew I wanted this. I knew I wanted to get out of real estate. Didn't know what I wanted to do. Right. And meantime, having ADHD, we're known to go from job to job to job to job.
Yes, we are.
Right. And I happened to stay with a career for 10 years.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Which is, you know.
But you were doing, it was always a different project. Real estate lends itself to that. Always something new.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, eventually it's like, okay, yes, working with people is great. You know, the thrill of the kill, mm-hmm. right, you know, mm-hmm. is great. But, you know, I got burnt out doing it. And, you know, once again, I was in New York and I was just like, you know, it's time for something else.
Right.
So got to Austin in 2013, did a little bit of real estate stuff, did mortgages for 2 years, went to work at a tech company for a year. Mm-hmm. So I was at the tech company from 2016 to 2017. I left March of 2017. Had no job lined up. Just knew I did not want to do that.
Right.
At the time, you know, I was about to turn 36 years old. Had no idea what I want to do with the rest of my life. I started, you know, looking on LinkedIn and Monster and you know, kind of like I never even done a resume, to be honest with you.
Right.
Because I've been in real estate.
You didn't need to. You know,
yeah. Yeah, I'm on all these job sites and I'm like, all these just seem kind of like stupid, like going back to work for somebody. Like I want to do outside sales. I need a job where I'm not going to be, you know, like behind a desk all day long. I think it was,
and I prefer to work for myself.
And yeah, I prefer to work for myself. Right. And that's what I started realizing at the time was, you know what, like stop focusing on like what I want to do and start taking off things that I don't want to do. Right. And that made a world of difference.
Right.
It was probably July, a friend called me in for this outside sales interview. It was a fantastic opportunity, 6-figure job, you know, company car, like all like the perks, benefits, right. health insurance, as you know, being from real estate, like I never had any of these things.
Right.
right? So it was very attractive to me. I met with the CEO and he looks at me and we're about to finish the interview or, you know, our interview. And he goes, how do you define success for yourself in 10 years, professionally and personally? Oof. And I was a month away from turning 36 and I looked at him like a deer in headlights. I made up some whatever answer, right? And, you know, the only thing in my mind, I didn't say this to him. I think it was like 2:00 on a Friday. I knew at 5:15, I was going to be training at my gym. And by 7:30, I was going to be having drinks and dinner with my friends, right? And if you ask me what I was doing the next day, probably the same thing.
Right.
I get a workout a little bit earlier and then, you know, right. dinner and right. drinks again with my friends, right?
Oh,
it was Saturday.
Okay.
Right. And I kind of set out at that point, like on this mission, like who do I want to be? What do I want to do with my life?
Right.
And I had no idea. And you know, I was never a big reader. I started reading a whole lot then. I picked up this book, in September, actually my therapist who prescribes my medication referred the book to me 4.5 years ago. Of course, I bought it right then. It was sitting in my house.
I'm impressed you kept up with it for 4.5 years.
That's yeah, I didn't lose it, right?
I'm
yeah,
impressed.
Yeah. And that was 2 moves. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be, exactly. And the book was Attention Deficit Disorder in Adults, A Different Way of Thinking by Lynn Weiss, who I think actually might be based in Dallas. Exactly. Yeah. And 30 pages in, I'm in tears. I was like it gave scenarios of five different people who are in different, you know, stages of their life. All had been recently diagnosed with ADHD. And every single one of these people, I was like, this is me. This was me. This will be me again. And I had no idea that that's how ADHD, you know, affected, you know, my life. Like
how much it affected your life.
How much it affected. Like to that day, I was now 36 years old. The only thing I understood about ADHD was that I was hyperactive. I couldn't pay attention. And I took medication for it. Those are the three. That's as far as my knowledge went, you know, at 36 years old and being diagnosed when I was 10. So right then I was like, I knew immediately nobody should feel this way. Right. Like people need to be more self-aware of like not just, you know, go and like take a pill. Right. And just go through life. Like and I had no idea how I was going to what I was going to do with ADHD. But I knew I was like, you know what? I want to do something with ADHD.
Yeah.
So from there, I had also like, you know, in this kind of self-discovery period of my life, one of the things I want to do is go work at a, volunteer in an orphanage for a month. So in December, I finally was just like, well, I don't know where to start. Finally, I just Googled it. And 3 weeks later, I'm like on a plane to Peru.
Wow.
Yeah. To volunteer at this orphanage for a month.
Oh my gosh.
So, volunteered at this orphanage for a month, still had this idea of wanting to do something with ADHD. Once again, like I knew I wanted to be like a remote option. You know, I want to be able to travel, you know, and kind of do what I want to where I can do like
right.
Zoom video conferences, whatever. And this is clearly pre-COVID.
Right.
Now everything's video conferences.
Right.
I came back from Peru and I had a business idea to like kind of like a Tom's Shoes type deal that mm-hmm. I wanted to do like with orphanages. Mm-hmm. And then I had a friend who did this and I spoke with her about it and she's like, we're actually going to Bali, you know, to live there for a while. You know, we have a business partner there.
Gosh.
So I'm sitting there thinking about it. I'm like, this is digital nomad capital of the world. Like,
wow.
You know, I want to have a remote business, right? Like, well, and if I'm gonna do this, like I can go there and meet like-minded people. So I bought a one-way ticket a week before I left. It was the end of February of 2018. Get to Indonesia, talk to a bunch of people. The idea starts to fade a little bit of the Tom's Shoes deal. And, you know, I would keep telling people, I'm like, hey, you know, we're like kind of forced into these beliefs and these jobs, which were never like things that we really, you know, like maybe our parents did, or it kind of just like, oh, well, it just made sense at the time. And I'd have these conversations with people. I'm like, you know, have you ever thought about like what else is out there? Like what you really, really want to do?
Your dream job, really your dream job.
Right, dream job, something you're passionate, something that like involves your strengths.
Right.
And people kept coming to me like, hey man, you know, like you inspired me. Like I want to change careers. I want to do this. I want to do that. Like I've had this cushy job where I'm making six figures and you know, it's all this money. And like, hey, I work 30 days on, I work 30 days off, right? And like I get to fly, you know, first class wherever I want in the world. Right when I'm not working, and then I have to be back. And this particular person worked in the oil and gas.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I was like, is ADHD coaching an actual thing? And sure enough, I look it up, and there's one school in New York, which, you know, you can get, you know, certified from. I waited till, so I was 12 hours difference. Yeah, so I had some questions I wanted to ask school. So I waited till like 12 o'clock at night, you know, my time. And I bought all these minutes on my, on my SIM card or whatever I was going to use, whatever. And I called the school. And also, when I was researching the school, I listened to I listened to, like, they had an hour-long, like, teleclass. Uh-huh. And the founder of the academy says something. And I actually have the quote on my website. It says, if you knew that you could create a life you truly desire and knew that you couldn't fail, what would it look like? And right when I heard that, it was literally one of the last things he said. I was like, this is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life.
That's awesome.
And sure enough, so I call and a guy answers the phone and I recognize the voice. And
shut up. Did you talk to the founder?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And David, I apologize. If you ever listen to this, I can never pronounce your last name. Gerwerk, I think I could be off on that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, so he answers the phone. And I was like, your voice sounds always weird. Are you Dave? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, honestly, he's like, I haven't yet to answer the phone in 15 years here. And I saw this like exotic number coming in. He's like, well, what the hell? Let me just answer this call.
Everything happens for a reason. Yeah.
And 5 minutes into our phone call, I get disconnected.
Oh.
My minutes were up. I had no idea how many minutes this was going to be. And somehow he ends up calling back through like Skype, and we talk for like an hour and a half, and we both like, we're very, very similar. You know, he's a big basketball guy. I was a big basketball guy growing up. Anyway, so like we hit it off,
and
he's like, yeah. And we just bonded right there. Like a day later, I signed up for, you know, the courses and started my training in like April of 2018.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
What a cool story.
Yeah. Sorry, a little long-winded.
No,
there,
but yeah, it seemed relevant. It's cool to see the evolution of how you started out thinking you wanted to do one thing, then not knowing what you want to do, and how reading one book changed your life.
It was, yeah.
And how it took you 4 years to read the book, but you weren't ready for it at that. When your therapist gave you that book the first time, you weren't ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
You weren't ready.
Yeah.
You were ready in 4 years.
Yeah.
God, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So now you are an official ADHD coach.
I'm an official ADHD coach, yeah.
So
I graduated from ADD Coaching Academy.
Why do we need ADHD coaches? What do you do? How do you help?
So first off, it's ADHD coaching being very future focused, right? You know, we work on these strategies to help people, you know, achieve their goals, right? Like I want what is, you know, what is best for my client. And if they actually don't know what's best for them, like that's something that we talk about, right?
Right.
And you know, people go and it's like they, for instance, like a life coach, for instance, right? If someone comes to, and you know, I'm a life coach by ADHD,
right?
But what we do from the ADHD side is we're looking at all of these things that someone's going through an ADHD lens, right? So
you understand how their brain works.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. So it's not only like that life coaching side of it, but also when people come to me, they're coming with like all of these other layers where like they probably have a bunch of lagging skills, whether it's someone who's 15 years old to like someone who's, you know, a 40-year-old professor, you know, at a major college, right? Like they come in and it's like, all right, well, you know what? I was always able to work harder. And then at some point, there's that shift,
mm-hmm.
right? So when that shift happens, no matter what age it is, like you can no longer work harder, no matter how hard you tried, those skills are just not going to be enough.
They're not enough. Your strategies run out.
Exactly. Exactly. So when they come to me, you know, they're at a loss, you know, they're feeling stuck. You know, they might be at a point where it just, no matter what they do, nothing ever feels like they're doing it right.
So how are you different from a therapist?
Future focused.
Okay.
Right. And that's not to speak against, you know, all therapists, right? But it's yes, like in you know, before we started here, we had talked a little bit about like, hey, you know, it's, we're not dealing with those traumatic events.
Right.
Right. You know, from the past. Right. And once again, not taking, you know, therapy is a must, right? Coaching and therapy combines.
Right.
Yeah.
You can benefit from both together at the same time.
Absolutely.
You're dealing with the, especially with ADHD, because you've got to deal with all of the, like we talked about earlier, the negative self-talk, right? All that, all those times you've told yourself, God, I'm so stupid. I can't believe I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Or other people are telling you, you're smarter than this, or you're just lazy, or all that. There's so much negativity. You gotta unravel some of that. Like that's not just gonna go away because you take some medicine and you learn a new strategy. You still have to deal with that and kind of unravel that. But I think doing those two things side by side, while you sort of undo the bad stuff and create strategies for the new stuff, that to me is like,
yeah.
So how does medication play into somebody? If you have somebody that you're coaching, you know, everybody has a different take on medication.
Yeah.
Are you currently taking medication?
I am currently taking medication, yes.
So, as am I. So, do you find that if you have somebody that's not a medicine, it's harder to get them? Or do most of the people that come to you already succumbed and said, yes, please give me medicine?
You know, I work with both.
Okay.
I work with both.
Do you notice it harder for people to develop new strategies and be successful, because they can still be successful, but it might take a lot longer because they're having trouble still with the focus piece?
Yeah. You know, this is a very sensitive topic and a tricky question. Yeah. So, you know, I'll answer this from my own personal experience and point of view. So from someone who, took medication straight for, you know, 18 years. Mm-hmm. And then when I was living in Indonesia, you know, like one of the things I thought about was, and I was struggling with myself, was number one is like, okay, I couldn't get Vyvanse, you know, I couldn't get my medication like in Indonesia.
I thought about that.
Right. So, you know, and I was able to get a 3-month supply, like when I went, and by the way, when I went, I thought I was going to be there for 3 weeks and I ended up being there for 6 months total.
So you ran out.
Well, so I, no, so I actually came back in between and got another month supply.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I came back, I had a wedding that I was in, which I knew I couldn't miss.
You had to come
right?
back anyway. Yeah.
And I just started questioning myself and I was like, you know, literally 18 years straight, like, am I the same person on medication as I am off the medication? Like, have I taught myself enough strategies, you know, in my life that like, you know what, I just don't need the medication. Like I didn't know if I was just a shell of myself. You know, off the medication, I literally had no idea. Right. And, I was like, you know what, let me, you know, I came off the medication when I was there.
Okay.
And the first couple of days were rough. And so I take medication every day for 18 years, right? Maybe right. I'd taken a day or two off, you know,
right.
here and there. Right.
Right. Did you experience withdrawal?
Yeah. So I was feeling, you know, tired.
Right.
Right. Super unfocused.
Your body's going to gotta adjust.
Right. Right.
Whatever you call it.
Whatever it is. Yeah. And, you know, clearly it's like, it's going to be different for everybody.
Sure.
But I remember like trying to read some of like my coaching stuff. I just, you know, started a school for my coaching and I like, my eyes couldn't even focus on like the screen. Mm-mm. And you know, every day just, it kind of like, I literally had to close the computer. I was like, I just got to put this on. I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm going to lie down, watch a movie, whatever it is, distract myself with something else. And every day I got better and better. The first couple of days were, you know, not rough, like I was bedridden or anything like that.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. I just, it was, you know, brain fog. Yeah. And then, you know, I'd still be kind of tired some, and then it was getting better and better. And then, you know, I had also explored, what was it? You know, different like dietary options to help mm-hmm. like for, you know, cognitive function. Mm-hmm. I was trying like intermittent fasting with like keto. And I just eventually, I did this for about 6 months and I didn't find it sustainable
right.
for me.
Right.
You know, I couldn't, you know, I'd sit down to read something and I couldn't shut my brain off. Like there was, you know, I'm sure you've heard like, you know, it's like a million tabs open on your computer, yes. like going on your brain or yes. like you have, you know, 100, you know, TV channels and you just can't tune to one channel.
Right, right.
And I was like, you know what? I was like, I proved to myself that I am the same person on it in terms of like my characters of who I am and who I am.
Personality.
Like, my personality and like who I am and like in my soul. Mm-hmm. Like the medication was not making me who I was. And I was happy with
That's a good feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. So going back on was kind of like, you know what? And I went back on a much lower dosage than I was taking before.
So totally off topic, yeah. but I did try to stop my medicine just because I don't really know why. I decided I'd kind of the same thing, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's been several years. But one of the side effects that I thought was fascinating is I had really crazy dreams and they were super like realistic or like clear, vivid. And I would wake up and be like that. And I would remember it and it was so weird. And I Googled it, you know, and that's actually a thing. Like when you go off your stimulants, interesting dreams or weird dreams or vivid dreams for a short time is not uncommon. And I thought that was crazy interesting. And it only lasted a couple of days. And, you know, I felt the same way. Like I was a little bit tired, a little bit meh, but I was also came to the same conclusion that yes, my personality is basically the same, but I'm much more efficient and effective on my medicine.
Yeah.
I can get more done. I am better focused. So it very interesting though. Yeah.
Just,
a little sidebar there.
But. Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, I don't remember having dreams or anything like that. Yeah. Yeah.
It was kind of cool though.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I don't usually remember my dreams. Yeah. So back to the original question, because of course, shockingly, we got sidetracked.
Yeah, of course, off top. Yeah.
So when you've been coaching people that don't take medicine, do you find that you have a hard time keeping them focused? Like when you're trying to talk to them and teach them something, are they so ready for help that they're like all in, it doesn't really matter?
You know, once again, I don't know if I have a straight answer for you,
right.
but yeah, I think people come sometimes, they're like, hey, I want to try this. Like, I'm like, I never wanted to take medication. I want to try this first and see how this goes. And then eventually kind of like go on medication. Right. Like it's...
Everybody's so different.
Yeah. Everyone's so different. You know, some people like they have this like great self-awareness or they have a self-awareness, but they know there's something not right.
But I also think too, in answering my own question, I do actually think though, by the time people do come to you, they are so desperate and they want the help. Like yeah. they have to be self-aware just to make the phone call.
Absolutely.
Unless it's a high school student, which is a whole nother story.
Oh, yeah, right.
But the adults at least are so, they already have that self-awareness and they want the help and they are all in. They're like, you are going to be it. You're going to help me figure this stuff out. So yeah. I do think you probably don't notice a big difference with that.
Yeah.
High school students, a little bit different.
Yeah. And once again, going back to like my story of like me taking, like myself taking medication or trying different medications, right? There's also that like, that in between, you know, like that huge experimental period.
Sure.
Right? With finding the right medication, finding the right dosage, like, you know, you're going through all this. Like I've actually watched it with a client recently who was not a kid, but just even an adult, a 41-year-old male. And like, he had just started taking medication as we started working together. So like he was on one medication and then, you know, 2 weeks and he's like, oh, and then he was on one thing that was for like anxiety and then started something for ADHD. And then like, you know, so I watched this like transition. And then finally when it was like, he found the right thing, I saw like there's a shift.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like in his energy and his, you know, and not like, you know, so like when you're going through those experimentations, like the medicine it's messing with you.
Sure.
Right? Like, you know, in your brain.
Your brain, yeah. It is, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, you'll see different things from a client, like going through that.
That's interesting. Wow, so much good stuff. Be sure to come back for the second half of my interview with Michael in our next episode. You're not going to want to miss it. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great day, and let's talk learning disabilities.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.